I came to Oklahoma before it was a state. Among the Cheyenne Indians, I roamed from morn to late. We were happy, healthy people, proud to live in that state. One dark, lonely day, a new sight did we see. A thick, smothering dust cloud swept over the prairie, killed many people, and most smothered me. We waited and hoped almost 5 years through. More people and cattle died, more dust storms came too. Then we decided something we had better do. We loaded a few things into an old car, hoping west to go very far. We landed at the government camp on a flat tar. So tired and hungry, heart sick and dirty too. Here we found food and shelter too. The California people sure are good to you.
I suppose if you want to go back to the real struggle of the individual is when, after he'd lived all his life on a given farm, he lost it. It was taken away from him, just one after the other. We didn't have very many laws that protected the individual as we have today. For instance, you had a foreclosure, and the mortgage was rather substantial, but after the foreclosure, there wasn't enough value in the farm to cover the face of the mortgage, so they got a deficiency judgment against the individual, and he couldn't pay. So not only did he lose the farm, but he had a judgment placed upon him that would almost make it impossible for him to ever get out of debt.
Well, the main ambition now is to get a better wage than what they're getting, because the cost of living right now is very expensive. They can't make a living 27.5 cents an hour. That's what they get paid for work. It was all right if it was steady work all the year through, but sometimes they don't work the whole day, or probably they won't work for a week or so. And they feel that the thing that they need most now is to be recognized as a union and get a better wage.
The Great Depression was a worldwide economic downturn starting in most places in 1929 and ending at different times in the 1930s or early 1940s for different countries. It was the largest and most important economic depression in the 20th century and is used in the 21st century as an example of how far the world's economy can fall. We hear a lot about the Great Depression in this modern economic meltdown. Tonight on Circle A Radio, we'll listen to oral histories recorded in the 1930s and 40s talking about the Great Depression, and we'll talk to historian Howard Zinn to help us understand the comparison between the present economic crisis and the economic crises of America's past. Stay tuned. We begin by asking Howard Zinn his opinion about comparing our economy today with the Great Depression.
Well, I mean, comparisons are always interesting, and sometimes they're useful. And I think in this case, a comparison is useful, just so long as, you know, you don't assume that, you know, this is an exact repeat of what happened in 1929, 1930. I mean, it isn't. There are obvious differences, but there are also important similarities. Now, I mean, the difference. There's a difference, of course, in the magnitude of the economic crisis, and the crisis of 1929-30 was a much more drastic one than what we are facing now. By that I mean we soon had one-third of the labor force in the United States unemployed. That's a huge percentage. We aren't at that position now, although unemployment is rising and rising. And, after all, in 1931-32, we had bread lines, we had people begging for food, we had real destitution. And of course, there are people who are struggling today. And you know, one of the things that's comparable is that people in that period were not able to pay their rent and were being evicted from their homes. And what's happening today is people are not being able to pay their mortgages and they're being deprived of their homes, and the homes are being more auctioned off. And, of course, more people who can't pay rents are going homeless. So we have the same characteristics. There's people losing their jobs, people losing their homes, people struggling just to survive, but the intensity and the magnitude of it was much greater, you know, at that time. Now, what we, I think, see in common in both situations is that in both at that time and today, we can look back before the crash, before the, you know, the crisis erupted, and look at the situation and find that, in fact, there was a developing situation which made that crisis inevitable. In other words, in the 1920s, although, you know, everybody sort of looking back on it, you know, later talked about it as the Roaring Twenties, the Age of Jazz, the Age of Prosperity, there should have been something suspicious about the fact that the Age of Prosperity resulted in the Age of Depression. And in fact, what happened in the 1920s is that underneath the surface of the jazz age, there was a lot of poverty. There was a lot of distress. And the gap between rich and poor at that time grew in the 1920s. The tax structure favored the rich. It poured more money into the pockets of the rich. The purchasing power of the working classes diminished. And when you have a huge growing gap between rich and poor, and the purchasing power of the poor diminishes, well, the economy at a certain point is going to come to a halt. And that's what happened then. And now, in our time, we've gone through a period where the gap between the super rich and everybody else has grown very dramatically, not just in the Bush years, but even before the Bush years, even in the Clinton years. The gap between rich and poor kept growing because the tax structure has favored the rich. Not just Bush's tax cuts for the rich, but even before that, the percentage that rich, the corporations, the dividend holders were paying kept going down and down. And in fact, it goes back to the end of World War II. You know, World War II, because of the war crisis, led to very high income taxes for the rich. And because it was wartime and it was an emergency, you know, there was a general sort of, almost general acceptance of that. But after the war, that very progressive tax became less and less progressive, more and more regressive. And so the result of all these decades of a regressive tax has led to a huge gap between rich and poor, and I think that is a primary cause of the economic crisis that we are facing today.
Welcome to our spring membership drive. We're asking you to call right now, 503-232-8818, because you appreciate the interview you're hearing with Howard Zinn right now, and you want to support KBOO. 503-232-8818 is the number to call and pledge as little as $5 a month or as much as $500 a month.
Or you can join us online at www.kboo.fm. We have a pretty extensive archive of our Circle A Radio shows on the KBOO website, and we can spy on you and see how many people are enjoying and listening to our shows. And we know, for instance, that we did that interview with the Dicentra Collective. We had 86 people download and play that specific program. And so the 86 of you out there, $5 a month. There's a lot of people who are obviously enjoying what we're doing. Our Studs Terkel program, 163 people looked at that website and 162 people downloaded or played it. So,
not to mention it was broadcast on Christmas Day on KPFA. That's right, we are part of a national network here also, and so Circle A Radio is often heard around the country. If you appreciate the kind of programming that we do here on Circle A Radio on KBOO, please call us at 503-232-8818. It's not hard to do. I'm a member. Aaron's a member.
I'm a member.
Anybody who's a member of KBOO knows it's easy to call. You can pledge a level that's comfortable for you. I like to do $5 a month straight out of my checking account. Boom. I don't even know it's gone.
The EFTs are really easy to manage, and our KBOO volunteers will help you with that when you call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Hi, this is Marlena. I'm also with Circle A Radio, and I'm saying, yeah, give us a call at 503-232-8818. We plan on bringing you much, much more great news and shows on Circle A Radio. I recently had the pleasure of interviewing Dalcia Pagan, who was a Puerto Rican freedom fighter and artist who spent 19 years in U.S. prisons fighting for the liberation of Puerto Rico. And we were just kind of blown away today to see that that particular show got 519 hits and 297 downloads and plays. This is amazing for us. You know, it's great to see this kind of feedback coming back to us, which is why I want to urge you to become a member. It's really easy. You can call again 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 or 500-KBOO.
We have heard so much great feedback about that show, and Marlena's participation has been so fabulous, and now we just want you guys to back up that praise with a little bit of cash.
Yeah, that would be great. Call and let us know if you want to, what, $5 a month or $60 a year? You know, we can work this out. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
We continue our interview with radical historian Howard Zinn about comparisons between the Great Depression and our current economic crisis.
We were talking a little bit about national migration. The Okies and the Arkies and people moving from region to region.
Well, yes, people... Black people moving from the south to the north, people moving from the dust bowls and the unemployment situations in the south and Midwest moving out to California. I mean, the John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, is a literary representation of a very, very important truth. And people were moving around the country desperately in search of work. In 1932, when thousands of soldiers came to Washington, D.C., that by soldiers I mean veterans of World War I, came to Washington, D.C. to demand that the bonus that had been promised to them for service in World War I be paid. And now they were destitute, and many of them had been traveling around the country desperately looking for work, riding the boxcars, going from city to city, leaving their families. And now they decided if they're going to travel that way, they may as well travel to Washington, D.C. and gather on the across the Potomac from the nation's capital and demand their bonus, which is what they did. So, yeah, there was a lot, and of course, in the South, black people facing more and more difficulty moved northward. Of course, when they moved northward, they didn't find things much better, but you know, when people are desperate, they will leave their homes and go to other parts of the country in search of work, which is what happened.
How many you got in family members?
I have four
in family. Your wife and yourself and children.
Is that right? Wife and two little boys and
you couldn't make a living for your family back in Oklahoma?
No, sir.
So you had to go someplace where there was work.
That's right.
Well, what brought you to California? What was the main thing of coming to California?
Well, of course, I was like most others. I had folks here, relation, my wife and me. They would write, of course, to me that there was work and ways of getting something to eat more so than there was in Oklahoma City.
Well, you just go ahead then and explain just how you found conditions in California since you've been here, Mr. Turner, will you please?
Well, I come into California, Imperial Valley. When I left Oklahoma, I was walking, me and my wife and two babies. We come into Texas and we got us an old rattletrap car, automobile. And then we come on into Mexico and pick cotton, Arizona. Went into California in January. Picked peas in Imperial Valley. From there we come to, went to the coast, picked peas. From there back to Fresno County and picked cotton. Stayed there during the winter, spring, summer, and then come here to Tulare, government camp.
Have you been satisfied with the camp?
Yes, you betcha. I have never had any idea going back to Oklahoma, though.
I'm glad you have, and I hope that your family and yourself, Mr. Turner, will prosper in California. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Well, the reason I left Oklahoma, I couldn't find enough of work to do to support my family, me and my wife and six kids. And there wasn't nothing to do there but a little timber work, and when you cut a rick of wood and hauled it in town and sold it, you only got $1.25 and you're lucky if you sold it for the rick. Well, if there weren't any farm work, no fruit work, and when you was lucky enough to get a day's work, they paid you only 10 cents an hour. And I left there and come to California to try to support my family and to school them. I have six kids, and they're all school age. That is, putting the baby in the kindergarten school. And I'll come out here, I would like to give them an education. And that's one reason why I come out here. And I'm proud to come and don't have any intention of going back, because I can make a living here so much easier than I could back.
Well, in Oklahoma in about 1930, there happened to be a depression at that time. And my uncle owned a hotel in a small town of Chickasha, Oklahoma. And this hotel had a big glass front all across the front. And I used to sit in that hotel many a day and look across the street where people was lined up down the streets with buckets in their hand going to get a bucket of soup for supper. And that's all they had. Every day they was back for another bucket of soup. Well, it was almost our turn to do the same thing until uncle of mine purchased a farm, and we worked on the farm for him for $20 a month. And we done pretty good for about 5 years. Crops failed, and so we sold out and started on the road to Arizona. And we bought a Packard Straight 8. Started out here with a Packard Straight 8 and a two-wheel trailer. And we had pretty good luck on the way. And we stopped off in New Mexico and worked for the snow range. Picked cotton for 75 cents a hundred. Mostly Mexicans, and the contractors beat you out of the little cotton you'd pick. So we started on for Arizona. And in Arizona, we landed in at Chandler, Arizona, and picked cotton for the Goodyear outfit. And then we come on over in California in 38.
Hello, dear listeners. This is Erin, one of the hosts and collective members and producers of Circle A Radio, inviting you to call us right now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 and become a member. Join us in our member owner working radio station and join the rest of the members here at our spring membership drive. Tonight we are listening to an interview with Howard Zinn, who talks about the importance of independent media in trying to trace and remember our history and give it a true and fair comparison to what is going on now, instead of just throwing out these casual comparisons between the Great Depression and our current economic meltdown. Is that really true? So we have these incredibly awesome radical elders that we can turn to that respect KABU, respect what we do, and respect the quest for knowledge, and respect the members for supporting that quest for knowledge in the name of the greater common good. So thank you, Howard Zinn. Thank you, all of our current member owners that help us do the work that we do. And thank you, new members who are so excited to come be part of the KABU community. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. You can also join us online at www.kboo.fm.
We're asking each and every one of you out there to become a member of KABU. 503-232-8818. Maybe you've been listening to KABU for a long time, but you haven't made that commitment to become a member. And today is your chance. Just call us at 503-232-8818. And one of our nice volunteers will pick up the phone. It only takes a few minutes, and you can pledge at a level that is comfortable for you. Many people do that by pledging a one-time amount of $60 or $100, $120, or you can spread it out over the year, which a lot of us like to do, $5 a month, $10 a month, even $20 a month, whatever works for you. It's not important how much, it's just important that you call 503-232-8818 and you step up and become a part of the KABU family at 503-232-8818 or toll free 1-877-500-5266.
This is Erin of Circle A Radio. A lot of the times people will pledge whatever their wage is, hour a month. So depending on some jobs I've had, that would be $20 a month. Some jobs I've had, that would be $5.65 a month, whichever. But then if you're having a particularly bad hour at work where you really feel like anger at the world or something, then you can know that that's the hour that's supporting KABU, making the world a better place through information, through great programming, like this interview that we're currently doing with Howard Zinn. I mean, come on, you know it's great. We just need your support. 503-232-8818.
Hi, this is Marlena, and I just want to agree with Erin. You're hearing a lot on KABU and on Circle A that you're not going to be hearing from a lot of other places or radio stations. I'm currently at KABU. I've been a volunteer here for maybe a few weeks, and the atmosphere is just great. And this membership drive and making a pledge is a great way to tap into a community of really, really committed people. We love the work that we do. We do it for you, and we love you. And so
we do.
Give us a minute and give us a call at 503-232-8818. We would really love to hear from you.
Or you can join us online at www.kboo.fm.
And I just want to say that Circle A Radio has been on the air here at KABU for about 8 years now, over 8 years that a group of committed anti-authoritarian feminists have been bringing you radio. So give it up for us, give it up for KABU Radio, which has been broadcasting in your community for 40 years. It's a long time, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of dedication. It's also quite a bit of money that it takes to keep the station running. But we've been able to do it all these years because of you, the listeners, the owners, the members. We're asking you to call right now, 503-232-8818. Each time we come to you and we ask, you give. And this is your chance. If you haven't given yet this year, call us now at 503-232-8818. It means a lot to us when you pledge during our show. It makes us feel really appreciated. But if you can pledge any time during our membership drive and become a member, that's great. I'm urging you to call right now, though, at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. And we want to let you know we all got our education here at KBOO for free. This is free. A free school. Yes. And you too can come in and learn how to produce radio and do interviews and all of the other skills. You can also come in and learn how to answer phones and transfer the phones to people. There's so many different things you can do. You can make radio. You can support radio being made. KBOO is a school, and it's free, and it's for you.
And it is only here for you because other people have taken the time to give the money to become member owners and provided these opportunities. So it is free to get the training done, but someone pays, and if we all become owners and pay a tiny little bit, then we're all here for each other. So 503-232-8818 is the number to call to support that.
Woo! Bravo, Circle A!
We continue our interview with radical historian Howard Zinn about comparisons between the Great Depression and our current economic crisis.
Because of policies such as NAFTA and other free trade policies, people have found themselves leaving countries and coming to the United States, specifically immigrants from Mexico trying to find work in the United States.
Yeah.
And that's also, I feel like, an interesting comparison to the immigration then, which was mostly national, to the international immigration that's happening because of these free trade policies. Do you find any missing pieces in the modern analysis of immigration? Any lessons that we could have learned from the Depression era experience?
No, in the 1920s, there was a lid on immigration because there'd been a huge influx of people from Europe into this country in the late 1890s and early 20th century. And then there was a lot of anti-immigrant feeling. Congress then clamped down on immigration, set very strict quotas on, especially on immigration from southern and eastern Europe. What we face today is a different kind of situation, where we are having immigrants from, as you pointed out, from Mexico. Entering this country, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally, and this has led to a lot of racism, anti-immigrant feelings, blaming the immigrants for an economic situation, which is not the fault of the immigrants, but is the fault of the economic system. It's a common thing to look for somebody to blame, and then when you're facing a very difficult situation, and it's rather shameful that this nation of immigrants, of course, should become hostile to the immigrants now coming here from other parts of the world. And they come here, of course, because their own situation back home is very desperate. And so they come here in search of work and hope that the situation would get better. This is what immigrants have always done. And generally, and this was true also in the early 20th century, when they come here, they find it isn't the golden palace that they were promised. And they find that they face similar problems here that they face back home.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also a different world in terms of work now. Thinking about immigrants who came from places like Italy or Poland to the United States, it seemed like people could, if they were skilled in a trade, immigrate to the United States, move to a city maybe on the East Coast where they had family or friends who were living, you know, I'm sure the struggle was immense, but eventually people created communities, had jobs, were able to own their houses, were able to send their children to school and to college, and were able to retire, which is not something that, you know, we're speaking of immigrants from Mexico and places where people are immigrating into the United States now. There are a lot more barriers, it seems, to that kind of progress that maybe there weren't as many of at that time.
Well, no, it's true that, you know, the sons and daughters of the immigrants who came from Europe, many of them managed to escape after a while the poverty of their parents and move up into the middle class, but not all of them did. You know, actually only a small number of them, small percentage of them, were able to go to college. The great influx of working-class people, working-class young men into college came as a result of World War II and a result of their being in the armed forces, you know, and the GI Bill of Rights. It was not simply an inevitable thing that the sons and daughters of immigrants would move into the middle class and go to college and so on. The special circumstances of World War II made that possible for millions of young men to go to college, as well it made it possible for me to go to college under the GI Bill. And I was the son of immigrants, and I looked around at the people of my generation. Well, some of them moved up into the middle class, and many of them did not. Now, you know, we haven't had a long enough period yet for these, you know, the new immigrants from Mexico to see what happens to their children. But of course, we're making it much harder for them. We're harassing them. We're rounding them up. We're threatening them. We're jailing them. We're deporting them. This is not what happened to the immigrants of the early 20th century. So that's a very different and very troubling situation.
I'm wondering, can you talk about the media's treatment of the current situation in terms of American psyche and in terms of the fear that people have about what's going on? Was it a similar thing in the 20s and 30s in terms of media coverage of the financial situation?
What is similar in the media coverage of the situation is that the media have never given an accurate picture of the hardships that people go through. They, you know, they will report statistics. They will report, you know, the higher rates of unemployment. But the media has never been able to graphically depict what is happening to poor people, to graphically depict it in such a way as to rouse attention and inspire people to action. And furthermore, the media has never probed into the fundamental reasons for the economic conditions that are going on, for the crisis that is taking place. Because to do so would be to start talking in the media not just about bailouts and government reforms to make things a little better, but the media would start asking questions about the nature of the economic system. Would start talking about whether the capitalist system, the market system, is adequate from a human point of view in dealing with the situation. And there is, in fact, just the beginning of such a discussion, and I think prompted by the fact that when Obama has begun to take certain measures, rather mild measures, but measures that are very different from the measures of the Bush administration, that is trying to create jobs for people and spending money for the creation of jobs and increasing the tax on the super rich. The small measures that the Obama administration has engaged in have led to sort of mutterings about socialism, accusations, oh, this is leading us to socialism. Well, that may be the beginning of an interesting discussion, because while the word socialism has become a bad word ever since the Soviet Union ruined the idea, they distorted the idea, and so the word socialism, which was an honorable idea at the beginning of the 20th century in this country and elsewhere, the word socialism became associated with dictatorship and bureaucracy. And now it is possible, helped by the fact that the Soviet Union no longer exists as a threat, it is possible to talk about socialism, so I see the beginning of such a discussion. The media has still not taken it up in an important way, because the media never really probes deeply and profoundly into any situation. They report the surface of things. That is still true today. You know, without the alternative media in this country, we'd be in a much worse position than we are, because the major media have always been slow to recognize terrible things going on. The major media was slow to recognize the disaster of Vietnam, and we depended at that time in the 1960s, we depended on alternative media, alternative newspapers, alternative radio stations, to tell the American people what was going on. And I think that was an important factor in leading the American people to finally turn against the war. And today, we are in desperate need of an alternative media, because the major media, as I pointed out before, give only the most superficial information and analysis of what is going on, and fail to report the nitty-gritty truth of the lives of people, what working people are enduring, and they certainly fail to report what is happening overseas in a graphic way and in such a way as to make the American people sort of sit up and take notice that American foreign policy is disastrous in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. So the independent media, KBOO, KBOO, is an example of the independent radio stations that have featured information, interviews, reports that we do not get in the major media. And I think it's been very important, especially in this period of wars, endless wars, and this period now of economic crisis. It's been very important to have places like Democracy Now!, alternative radio, community radio stations like KBOO, and to give people information and opinion and analysis they cannot get in the major media. So I sure hope people will support your radio station.
My name's Trillium. I'm welcoming you all to our membership drive.
This is Erin, one of the producers and members of the Circle A Radio Collective. Please call us now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 and become a member or renew your membership to this important community radio institution, KBOO.
If you call us right now and become a member of KBOO, we'll send, every month you will get a copy of our listener's guide. It's great. You can put it up on your fridge and then you know exactly when the shows you love are coming on. And you also know that there's a great diversity of programming at KBOO, so you'll know exactly when you can turn on the radio and hear Bhangra or when you can hear the Yiddish Hour. I mean, there's just so many things to choose from.
503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-5266. You can also join us online at www.kboo.fm.
Circle A Radio is only one of an amazing plethora of programming that you can hear on KBOO.
And we are asking for your support as Circle A Radio and as KBOO in general, bringing you things that, sure, with the internet you can find out this information and you can hear this music, but really we do a lot of analysis for you. We bring you things that you may not hear about in other places, so now you know how to explore further into these new worlds that you've been exposed to.
We're asking you to call right now, 503-232-8818.
We really work hard for you, and we love doing it, but we also need your support to help continue doing it in the ways that you have grown accustomed. 503-232-8818 is the number to call to show us your support and care for the hard work that we do here on Circle A Radio and on KBOO in general. Please call us right now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 and become a member or renew your membership to KBOO.
We have with us a man that's ought to be pretty well known around here. It's our postmaster from Visalia, California, Mr. Conley, who's going to give you a short reading.
We live in a world seething with hatred, murder, and crime, where humans oft sell out their country for a measly silver dime. Here the chief god that we bow to is King Greed, blood-tainted gold, brought from the end of the universe and buried in Kentucky's hole. Humans may starve and be slaughtered, be gas-bombed and raped, still we pray facing Mecca, the hole where our treasure is heaped. We can't stop Japs looting China, or Red that perils the North, fellow creatures frozen in Finland, dying Turks are held in no worth. In Europe, helpless women and children forced to hide in dens like dogs, afraid to breathe pure sunshine, lest they be gassed by the warriors' gods. We may ask ourselves one question, not Jews murdered and driven from home, or mothers' sons torn from their bosom to feed the warmongers' bones, not dictators cruel and wicked, with only their black hearts at stake, driving slaves to destruction, leaving pestilence and death in their wake. But why no work for our young men, and the blight of our aged, fond dreams, knowing what to die in the poorhouse, a nightmare the taxpayer means. Futureless, underprivileged children, poor, cold, sickly, and underfed, living in squalor, red tents and hovels, in tenements with rags for beds, while sleek, well-fed people in rich autos switch by in their pride, feeling secure in their dollars, not being warned by Europe's sore hide. With the fate of our fathers vanquished, we beat our souls on husks, forgetting that fire fell on Sodom because of their greed and lust.
I'm wondering what opportunities you see in the face of this economic downturn,
yeah,
and ways that we can turn this collapse into an opportunity for renewal.
Well, I think the economic crisis gives us an opportunity to reappraise our economic system, and to reappraise the whole idea of a market economy and turning to the market, and gives us an opportunity to reintroduce the idea of a single payer health system, you know, what of course the opponents call socialized medicine. But, you know, we have Social Security and we have the post office and we have all sorts of things in our society which are socialized, that are socialized in the sense that they don't depend on private enterprise, and they're supported by city governments and state governments. I mean, the whole public school system, you might say, is socialized education. And this gives us an opportunity to introduce the idea of taking things away from the private enterprise, which cares only about profit, which will only produce things if they're profitable, only carry out activities that are profitable, and reintroduce the idea of the government representing the needs of the people, which is what a government is supposed to do, the government taking a hand, creating jobs for people, doing what the New Deal did in the 1930s, for instance, when they created a federal arts program. They didn't wait for the market to employ artists and musicians, writers. The market wasn't about to do that because it wasn't profitable, so the government did it. It didn't result in dictatorship or bureaucracy. It resulted in opening the arts to millions of people who had not experienced the arts. So, yeah, the economic situation today gives us an opportunity to reintroduce the idea of a democratic socialism. I like the expression that the Hollywood writer Dalton Trumbo, who was blacklisted during the 1950s, I like the way he summed up his credo in three words: socialism without jails. Democratic socialism. I think this gives us an opportunity to introduce that idea, because we need to get away from a failed economic system, which is capitalism, and move towards a more egalitarian, more humane, a more people-centered society. I think Martin Luther King, in the last years of his life, began talking in this same way. His speech, in which he spoke out against the war in Vietnam in 1967, ended with a plea to think beyond the war and to think about the kind of society we live in. And as he put it, we should begin to think of a people-oriented society instead of a thing-oriented society. So yes, the present situation, I think, gives us an opportunity to begin a discussion about that.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Sure.
That was Howard Zinn. This is a song recorded in 1940 in Visalia, California.
This is Mr. Jack Bryant of the Fireball Camp singing an original song called Arizona.
We were out in Arizona on the faded desert ground. We had no place to call our home and work could not be found. Started to California, but our money, it didn't last long. I want to be in Oklahoma, be back in my old home. Way out on the desert, where water is hard to find. It's 100 miles to timber and the wind blows all the time. You will burn up in the daytime. It gets cold when the sun goes down. I want to be in Oklahoma, be back in my hometown. You people in Oklahoma, if you ever come west, have your pocket full of money and you better be well dressed. If you wind up on the desert, you're gonna wish that you were dead. You'll be longing for Oklahoma and you're gonna
The American Memory from the Library of Congress provided all the oral histories and the Depression-era songs for our program tonight. You can hear much more from this incredible resource at memory.loc.gov. We'd like to thank Howard Zinn for his time and his years of work in helping all of us understand the people's struggles and successes in American history. You can find out more about him at howardzinn.org. Circle A Radio would also like to thank all the new members who've supported us during this past hour, as well as our ever-faithful, sustaining, and renewing members. We can't do it without you. Circle A Radio is broadcast every first and third Wednesday at 6 p.m. here at KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM Portland, 100.7 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM in Hood River. Our archives are stored on the KBOO website at www.kboo.fm, and we can be reached through our page there or at circlearadio@gmail.com. Our next show airs May 20th. Thanks for listening.